Does my hair look all right? Good morning. Welcome to Marbleton Free Will Baptist. It's so good to be with you today, and hope you're having a good day so far. So thankful that we can come together. We're not together physically, but we can come together by the way of the internet, and we thank the Lord for it. And I want to read a verse of scripture in the message this morning, which also, it's in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." And today I want us to be thinking and get our thoughts on when Jesus ascended into heaven. And one thing about it, if he went up, he's coming back again to get us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we so thankful to be able to come to you. So thankful, Father, to be able to have a service. And so thankful, Lord, that for our health and our safety. Thankful, Lord, for the house of God. Lord, we know a lot of people and a lot of folks are telling me how much they miss coming into the house of the Lord. And I pray that you'll speed that up and take care of this virus and make it safe where we can get out again and come back into the house of the Lord and worship together. And Father, we love you today. I pray that you would anoint this time. I pray you'd anoint the old preacher boy a double portion. God, you'd forgive me, cleanse me, and help me today. And Father, bless the singing, bless everything that'll be done, and I pray hearts would be touched and lives would be saved. Lord, we love you today. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. We hope that within this next week that we'll have more of a timeline when we think we will be opening, and so we'll probably hear something later on in the week as we'll make that decision, all probability, this week. But before the message this morning, I have a very special treat for you. Sister Connie Robertson is going to come and share with us this morning. Come on, Sister.
We'll say it's good to be here this morning. When morning comes and burdens seem hard to bear, and I wonder, does anyone
to bring me down?
I would like to thank the Lord for being here this morning. I was driving over here, and it just seemed like forever since we'd come this way. But I do pray that it'll be soon when we can gather back together. And I had some special prayer requests. I've had some people ask us to pray for them this week, I've asked the congregation out there, I guess, not inside here, but just asked everyone to remember those people in prayer. God was the creator. Into existence he spoke the heavenly blue. And with one mighty swoop of his hand, he threw
Amen. Praise the Lord. What a thought this morning. If he hung the moon, he can take care of us, can't he? Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for that. Are you thankful for that this morning? And so thankful. And as far as prayer requests, let's remember the prayer request Sister Connie had there. And also, I want to remember Brother Gary. He's dealing with a kidney stone. And also, Tammy Mitchell is still in ICU at Franklin Woods. So we keep remembering her and JD and many other requests. And we'll pray for the ones you have out there. Just go ahead and speak it if you want to. And we'll pray the Lord hears all of us and knows what's on our hearts. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Again, Father, we come to you again, and we pray, Father, over these requests that we may have, and we pray, Lord, for everyone that's been spoken and everyone that's in this long list in the back of our bulletins. And Father, we pray for each one and ask you, Lord, that you would look down upon each situation according to your perfect will. You know what's best. You know far greater than we could ever think or ask. And Father, I'm praying, Lord, today that you'd just look down upon us and realize we're mere flesh and bone and blood, and Lord, that we ask you that you would just have mercy upon us today, and Father, that you would meet our needs and meet every need that we have and every request that's on every heart that's as we're joining together here. And Father, we pray and ask you, Lord, that you would give us church wisdom, give us leadership and guidance to where we need to go and how we need to conduct. And Father, we just pray for your direction. I pray for the leaders of our nation. You give them direction and leadership and give wisdom. And our local leaders and our governor, we pray for him this morning. Ask you, Lord, to give him wisdom and guidance. And Lord, that you would help us in this time of COVID-19. And Father, if you hung the moon, you can take care of this. And Lord, that we're asking you and trusting you in it. And I don't know what your will is. I don't know why you're allowing the things you are. But God, that we know that it's for a reason, and we trust you with it today. And God, we ask you to move and to protect us and keep us safe. Lord, help us as a nation to move forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn to, we'll be in Acts chapter 1. And I want to read a few verses here. I preached a message last week, and we went up to about verse 8. And let me read 9, 10, and 11 this morning. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." And I want to share a message with you this morning. Stop standing and gazing. And I thought about this, and some guys I worked with through the years, and one of them was a finisher, and another was a hanger, and they'd pick at each other, and Joe was a good finisher, and one of the hangers was picking at him one day, and he said, "Stop standing and start sanding." And I've always thought about that. And as I was looking at this, I thought of stop standing. But as we look up and thinking about this morning, Jesus lived 33 years here on earth. And he had 3.5 year ministry. And this time he taught the disciples, worked many miracles, and done so many things. And he died, was buried, and he arose from the dead. And then we preached last week about 40 all-filled days, and he had spent 40 days here on earth between the resurrection and the ascension. And now is just a little bit of time left. He is getting ready to be called out of this world into heaven, going in on the cloud.
And the disciples here was concerned, we read a little earlier, concerned about the restoring the kingdom again. But Jesus is now ascending from the Mount of Olives into heaven. And the disciples are looking in the sky and searching. I don't know if they were looking to see if he was coming back or trying to get a last glimpse of him or whatever it was that they had, and I don't know how long this had been. This could have been for some time. But they were standing and they were looking and they were idle. And they were not busy. As they were searching, these two angels now has come and said, "Why are you standing here? Why are you standing and gazing? This is not what you've been called to do." And so I want to share this message with you this morning. Stop standing and gazing. And in verse 4 here of chapter 1, the Bible says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, He ye have heard of me." So I want to look as we see the first one is to stop standing and get going. Stop standing and get going. The angels was telling the disciples here, this is not where you're supposed to be. Jesus had told them not to depart from Jerusalem, to stay in Jerusalem until that they be endued with the power from on high. And the problem was they was not in Jerusalem. They was still here on the mount. So the angels was encouraging them to get to where Jesus had told them to go. They must leave and go to Jerusalem. And when they get there, well, praise the Lord, some great things is going to happen. When they get to Jerusalem, it's going to start triggering some tremendous things. And they're going to be involved in the greatest evangelistic work excuse me, that we have ever seen. So you'll have to bear with me as I eat a cough drop. I don't want to be like the preacher that eat cough drop and say when he got done that he was finished. And his wife asked him on the way home, said, "Did you have a button in this morning?" So maybe it won't be a button, it's just a cough drop. But they were getting ready to be involved in the greatest thing in church history. And this morning, see, Jerusalem was where God's will was. They would be, when Jesus had told them to stay there, so they were going back to Jerusalem. That was where they would find God's will. They would go there and then the next steps would fall in place, but they had to go to the first one first, where Jesus had told them to go. And this morning, that there's some folks that need God's will for their life. Do you know what God's will is for your life? I can remember when early on, when Rhonda and I got involved in church and then we committed our life to the Lord and dedicated our lives to Him, I would so often would go to the altar and pray, "Lord, show me your will. I want to know what your will is for my life." And I did that over and over and over. And doors would open and I took a lot of different positions in the church and worked and was involved in the work of the Lord. See, I had to be obedient to those things before He ever opened the door up for me to preach or whatever. But His ultimate goal was for me to be a preacher. I think, well, it may not be the ultimate, but up to this point, His goal was for me to be a preacher of the gospel. And I had to go through the things to get there. And if I'd got out of His will early on, then I may not have followed and been in this part of His will today. God's will is important for our lives. It's important that we know what it is that He's got us to do. We have got to be available. We have got to go to Jerusalem. We have to be involved. See, this is a good time to do some soul searching. This is a good time to get some things maybe nailed down. And in this time, that when we start back up like we used to, things will be different, I'm sure. We'll do things a little different. But the goal is the same. It's for us to be involved in the work of the Lord. And do you know what He wants you to do? See, others know the will and don't obey it. There's some folks that knows that. I've met people in the past and they've been involved in the work of the Lord. I've seen people say, well, the Lord had called me to preach and I ran. And their lifestyles was bad shape. See, it's a dangerous thing to run from God's will. It's dangerous. If you don't believe me, just ask Jonah. Jonah can sure tell you how dangerous it is. That whole ship of people was in danger because Jonah was out of God's will. And how many of our families is in danger? How many people around us is in danger because we're out of God's will? Because we're not doing what God has called us to do. And it's His will that all become saved, that all come to repentance and call upon His name. And today you may be out of His will that you don't know Him as your Savior. You've never asked Jesus into your heart. But I tell you, that is the first one. You better get that one straightened out pretty quick. I went to my little great niece the other day, and I went to Joanne's, and she had watched the movie, and she is all involved about it, and she was not happy until I was as interested in that movie as she was. And she showed me a trailer of the movie. She showed me it was a true story. It's of a young girl that had lost her arm, was a surfer, and had lost her arm with a shark bite. And then she showed me the girl, not in the movie, but the girl that it really happened to, and it was her giving a testimony. And she said, before this time, me and my mom had been praying for God's will in my life. And then just within a couple of weeks, the shark had bit her arm off. Wow, her story is gone. She has been so much encouragement to other folks, and she's following the Lord and sharing her testimony and things. And as I was sitting there with my little great niece, I said, you know, it's not too early for you to start asking that. It's not too early for you to start asking God's will for your life. We can't start too early. Parents, I encourage you, help your children to find God's will. Help them they go to the right college. Help them that they'd find the right mate. Help them they find the right person to date. Help them that they'd find God's will. That first job, it's important that it's God's will. That car, their first car they ever have, it's important that it's God's will and they get the right car. It's important the things that we get our family and we get our children and folks, we get to praying for God's will, and we allow Him. And I tell you this morning, and I'm going to preach to the preacher, and I'm going to preach to the church board, and I'm going to preach to all of the members, that we as a church better be following God's will and on our face before Him and letting Him direct us. Instead of, and let's not get to where we think that we know what's going on and we've got the best answer. It's that much important that we follow God's will. I'm going to try to hurry on, but God's just got me anchored up right here for a minute, so I've got to preach what He's telling me. See, what if the disciples had said, I'm not going to Jerusalem right now. You know, we're close over here. I'm going to run over here and see some old friends. But I'm going to go down here. What Peter had said then, well, I think I'm going fishing. There wasn't a big period of time there for them to be where they were supposed to be at the time they were supposed to be there. And the history of the church could be different, but they went and followed God's will. They might have said, well, I've got to get my job together. I've got to wait till I get older. I got to wait till I get married. I got to wait till till I retire. I got to wait till I get my 401k built up. I got to wait till I get my business established. I got to wait. What if they would have done these things? It's important that we don't put God's will off. If God is leading us to a specific reason and purpose, it's important that we make that first number one thing in our lives, that we follow His will. See, when they obeyed the first one direction, then the others came. And all we have to do is obey that first one. I remember early in my Rhonda's Christian walk, and a dear saint of God that worked with the youth come up to us and said, "Timmy, Rhonda, why don't you go to youth workers retreat with us?" I didn't know, but I didn't know why she asked us. And Rhonda, we said, "Okay, we'll go." And we prayed over the money, and it wasn't a whole lot of money, but we didn't have a whole lot of money. And we prayed over it, and God worked the money out. And it was one of the most encouraging things that we ever did. Going and spending that weekend, the youth workers retreat. After that, we got involved in youth work. We worked for years with the youth. We coached tic-tac-toe teams. I've even had an egg busted over my head, a raw egg, at a youth gathering just with the young people. And see, we had to be obedient early on in the first thing before He ever called us in to exactly what He had for us to do. See, these disciples must quit standing and get going. And this morning, I plead with you. Know God's will. If you don't know what it is, get involved and find out what it is. Seek His face. Seek His will. I can tell you, God's will is not just to take up a pew on Sunday mornings. He's got far more greater in store for a life of believer than just to come to church. Amen. Can I get amen right there? Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't make me start waving my handkerchief. The second thing I see, not only was they to stop standing and get going, they were to stop standing and get to a prayer meeting. They went now, and in verse 14, the Bible says, "And these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren." As we see now, they've gathered in the upper room. See, they obeyed and went to Jerusalem. And not only did they obey and went to Jerusalem, they went to the upper room and started praying. They had got involved in prayer now. And, I tell you, that's a prayer meeting I'd like to be in. You talking about phenomenal. I was in one years ago, first time I ever shouted. We was in a room, kind of like this side room with the door closed. And I felt the Holy Spirit blow across the back of my neck in that room. I come up from there shouting. I just got a breeze that time. Could you imagine when the Holy Spirit came as a mighty rushing wind? Glory, hallelujah. And what a prayer meeting to been involved in. I'd have hated to miss that, wouldn't you? I'd hate to miss the things of God. I hate to miss what God's got in store for His people, wouldn't you? I want to be involved, don't you? That is early in my Christian walk. I wanted to be involved in everything that I could get involved in. I wanted to know everything about the Bible that I could. I wanted to know everything about the Lord that I could know and learn about Him. Is it enticing to you? Are you excited about the things of God? Or are we just happy to be saved, preacher? Well, I'm happy too, but I want everybody else to be saved. I want to, when I get to heaven, that God say, "Enter in, thou good and faithful servant." Praise the Lord. Do you long to hear those words? See, they were now in the upper room praying. They were in one accord. They had put all away all differences. The Bible said they were one on heart, one mind, one accord to one goal. That's to seek God's will and to follow what Jesus had commanded them to do and do what God had in store for. Glory, hallelujah. If we could get the church fired up like that now, that our goal and number one thing is that we're doing what God wants us to do. See, and another thing, and as I looked over this, and most of you know Rhonda drives me to church, and I looked for the last time over my message, and it hit me coming here this morning on this part. See, they waited for the Holy Spirit. It was a 10-day period of time there, and they waited on the Spirit. They didn't get ahead of the Spirit. They didn't. I don't see anywhere right here in any of this passage where it says they put a committee together. First thing we need to do is get a committee together and we'll get and we'll decide if we're going to and what we're going to do and these things. I don't see that. They say they waited until the Holy Spirit came. Glory, hallelujah. The Lord stirred me with this verse on the way over here, a couple verses over in Acts chapter 16, and then Paul and Silas were going on a missionary journey. And the Bible says in verse 6, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, and after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Did you notice? They wanted to go here, and the Holy Spirit said, Well, we'll go over here. They were fired up. They were ready to do something. Boy, I tell you, I'd like that problem too. Let's get geared up and ready to go. They said, let's go here. No, can't go to Bethany. Nope. And then he goes to Troas, gets right there at the Aegeanic Sea. And he goes, and then a man from Macedonia appeared to him and said, come over and help us. Wham. See, how often do we jump out and do something instead of waiting, that time waiting? I don't know, this may be one of the things God's trying to teach us in this time, is to wait on Him, to wait for His commands, to wait on the leading of the Spirit of God. It takes the Spirit to lead us. If we're ever going to do anything for the Lord, it is going to come by the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost of God. It's not going to come of a man-made program. It's not going to come of something man-made, something some man's come up with. It's going to come through the power of Almighty God, through the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Glory! I'll amen myself there this morning. In any other way, we'll get in big trouble if we don't follow the leading of the Spirit of God. See, here in Acts chapter 2, in verse 1 it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. This is where they was praying when the Holy Spirit fell, at Joel had promised. So we see, stop standing, get going, stop standing, get to prayer meeting. The third one is stop standing and go into all the world in verse 8. The Great Commission. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy... You see that? You shall receive power, but it's after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Wait until then. Wait until you're empowered. Wait until you're endued with power before you start
your ministry. Before you start doing what I want you to do, I want you to be endued with power. If you remember the disciples, when they drove them out, they were men that was filled with the Holy Ghost. They were men that were on fire for the Lord. They were men that God had touched and ordained and anointed to be disciples, to be deacons. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. See, they were to be witnesses. And this word for witness here is martus. And the word, what's the word kind of sound like? Martyr. It doesn't mean that they had to be martyred, but it meant there's a possibility of it, but you do it anyway. It meant that even if it took your life, you's going to be a witness. You's going to stand up for the Lord. You's going to proclaim the gospel. You's going to tell the world who Jesus is and what he had done for you. And that is the word, the meaning of the word here, martus, that it ties in with martyr. And they were to be witnesses even if it cost their lives. And guess what? It did, most of them, I think, except for John. They must launch a great evangelistic outreach. If you've enjoyed the gospel, it's because these men carried on what Jesus started. This was his plan. And they were to teach, and they come right on down the road, and it's come down to us. I don't want it to stop with me. I want to keep carrying it. I want it to keep going, don't you? They must launch a great evangelistic outreach. See, evangelism is one of the words is what's missing in the church today. I'm afraid that we're more concerned inwardly than we are outwardly. I don't mean this church in general. I'm talking about the universal church, that we're more concerned about our comforts, our things, what with us, than we are about evangelizing somebody on the other side of the globe. Evangelizing somebody in a bad area of town. Evangelizing somebody that's got an addiction. To evangelizing somebody that's in a bad shape. I tell you that Jesus didn't pick and choose who he was going to. He preached to the up and in and the down and out. And I'm glad that he didn't make any differences. The gospel is free to everyone. And this morning, that as we are here this morning, are you carrying the gospel everywhere? That we're to be Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. See, we must return to the greatest task of the church. That's to evangelize. That's to get people saved. That's to be on fire for the Lord and spread the gospel to a lost and dying world. See, as we see here, and here in the book of Acts, I love the book of Acts. I preached through it just not too long ago. This evangelism explosion in Jerusalem. Here in Acts 2 verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, the Holy Spirit had now got involved. The Holy Spirit fell on them. They were all involved and they were preaching. They were ministering to everybody in their own language. Wow, what a day. Peter got up. Woo! I tell you, I think one day the Lord, when I get to heaven, is going to let me say it. I would love to hear this message. He got up and he preached filled with the Holy Ghost. The same one that denied the Lord three times just of several days earlier, now he was standing and proclaiming with boldness the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus whom ye crucified. It's him. He's the Lord. He's the only way that you're going to make it to heaven. And 3,000 people got saved. Glory, hallelujah. What a blessing. What a time of evangelism. Don't you want to be involved in that? Wow.
I want to ask you, what are you doing to evangelize? What's your goal? What's your method? What's your plan? I say, preacher, I don't have a plan. You know, I heard a saying several years ago, that those that fail to plan to fail. It's not going to just happen. We have to be involved, and I'm gonna tell you right now, I'll tell you a good place to start. If you don't have a plan, and you don't feel God tugging you to minister and witness to the lost people, let me share something with you right here. This won't cost you a dime. They had a 10-day waiting period. And what do we see that they did in this 10 days? Was they fishing? Was they going on a vacation? Well, we're getting ready to have a big task ahead of us. We better take this few days vacation before we go. They were in the upper room praying. The church was born out of a prayer meeting. And when we've got these days that we're at home a lot and we're not able to get about and do things as normal are, this will be a good time to get in the upper room. Glory, hallelujah. This will be a good time to get on our face before God and say, God, recommission me and help me, Lord. Forgive me and forgive me for failing you in this area. And Lord, recommission us as a church. Recommission us as people. And Lord, that we would be on fire, that our interest and our goal would be to get people saved. What a good time to take advantage of this time. See, it's a good time to get in the upper room. Good time to stop standing and get to a prayer meeting and go to all the world. You might say, preacher, we can't go too far, can't we? Ain't supposed to get out of the house much. We can be praying. That telephone can reach a lot of people. You know, and there's some other preachers you may know that's having a live stream, and you might want to say, them, watch them instead of me. But you can encourage people, invite people, say, well, our service is on Facebook. Most people's got Facebook. Or share it on, probably more people's been hearing the gospel than they had been in this time. Let's take advantage of it. Let's use it to our benefit to spread the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And the last point, stop standing and live like we're expecting him to return. In verse 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. This same Jesus that's gone away is coming back. Let me ask you, do we believe that? You know, Peter said that, and there'd be perilous time, but he said that some men would say that doubt the Lord's coming, and he said God's not slack, and his men would count slackness, but he's long-suffering that not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. I'm afraid that there's a lot of people that is saying, well, we've heard it our whole life that he's coming and we've not seen it. He's coming. And if we believe it, we ought to be standing and going instead of stop standing and going instead of gazing. See, the one that cared for the lost and dying, the one that wept over hurting people, the one who died and rose again, could you imagine the compassion that Jesus had over people. I remember in reading in the Gospels, and it says he was moved, he saw the multitudes, looked upon the multitudes, and was moved with compassion. Jesus loves people. He loves people, and his heart is for people to be come to a relationship with him and be able to spend eternity in heaven with him. It's what Jesus' heartbeat is. And this morning, our heartbeat ought to be the same. Are we expecting him to come back? One thing, all these things that he done for us, but there's something that I want us to get in our mind right now, that he's coming back and we're going to stand before him. And not only that we're going to stand before him, the Bible tells us the judgment seat of Christ, that we'll give an account for everything that we've done. As a Christian, you'll give an account for what you did with the calling upon your life. It's not an account if you're going to go to heaven or not. It's a giving an account for what we have been entrusted with. We've been entrusted with eternal life to share it to the lost and dying world. This time, as churches are probably going to start opening up back soon, pretty soon, and start ministering more normal than we have been, it's time that we get excited and fired up for the Lord. Get on the firing line. Get excited for God. Tell the world that Jesus is coming again. See, it's not time for us to stand gazing. The Bible says to redeem the time. In Matthew 7:21, the Bible said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." There's his will again. That's doing the will of God. Not everybody that says, "Lord," is going to heaven. In John 6:40, the Bible said, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." If you're listening to me today or watching me, it's God's will that you're saved. You may never ask Jesus into your heart. The first obeying God's will is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And saying, "Forgive me of my sins. Will you come into my heart and change me?" I found a quote, and I did some research, and it is from Vance Havner. I hadn't really heard of him, and I did some research on, wow, what a preacher of the gospel, a Baptist preacher that was on fire. This is a statement that he made. He said, "We have no business living ordinary lives in such extraordinary times." And when I seen that, and I thought about it, and I read a little bit about his life, wow, how true that is. It's too much of a time for us to just be living ordinary and thinking about ourselves. He said that in the last, I read a biography he had wrote of himself, and in Genesis 55 and 56, and this was when Abraham's servant went and got Isaac a bride, said, "And her brother and mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." And Vance Havner said here, when God has prepared man's way, he'd better be on his way. Glory, hallelujah. When God opens a door, we better go through it. When he gives us an opportunity, we better share the gospel. When he leads us into a ministry, we better get involved. When he takes us somewhere and leads us in a specific way, we better be involved and be on the way and quit waiting. So today I want to encourage you to stop standing and gazing. Get busy for the Lord. Get going. Get on the firing line. Get to praying. Go to all the world and spread the gospel. And keep waiting and expecting His return. Are you saved today? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you'd go to heaven? You may be saved. Are you in God's will? Are you doing what He'd have you to do? Do you know His will for your life? Young folks, do you know where He wants you to go to college? Do you know where He wants you to work? Do you know who He wants you to date and who He wants you to marry? Well, and where does He want you to go to church? When these churches open up, we ought to fill them. We ought to fill the pews and be fired up, because I think the time is short and Jesus is coming back to get His church. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You and praise You today. Lord, You're so good to us. Father, I thank You for Your many wonderful blessings of life. I thank You for helping me with this message and anointing me. I thank You, Lord, for sister singing for us today. I thank You for each one that's here. I thank You for everyone that's watching over the videos today. God, I pray that You would anoint this message. You would touch and take it and apply it to each of our hearts, and we would be excited and on fire. Lord, there's an empty grave. Jesus has came out of it, and He's gone back into heaven, and He's coming back to get us. One glorious day. Well, glory, hallelujah. That ought to get us excited as Christians today. Lord, will You bless and touch? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.